There's another side to good health, and that's good mental health.
Oh, you got Stella?
Yeah.
I see some tea from Drew. I see a Stella from B.
This is beer, actually.
Oh.
I was pouring the beer into this mug, and my wife's like, "Why are you using my teacup?" And I was like, she saw me pouring the beer into it. And I was like, "She's like, don't you have another glass you could use?" And I had no rebuttal. So this is not tea. This is beer.
Yeah. You got to drink your beer with a pinky out.
It's for the kids.
Leonard was just telling us that he got a job from Wells Fargo out of the tournament that we were at together.
Let's go. I saw you post something maybe like a month ago.
Yeah, in the New York Morehouse Howard Classic, I did their Instagram takeover.
That's right.
But was that connected to Wells Fargo at all?
So Wells Fargo was one of the title sponsors, or the official like retail bank sponsor for there. So they had me out, and then they gave $25,000 to Howard and Morehouse. So I presented the check at halftime.
That's so cool. How did that happen? You said it was connected to the tournament, right? Like you met the people that ended up hiring you?
Yeah. So during the tournament, they basically ran us, like while we're running around doing interviews, they also introduced us to like Wells Fargo execs and whatnot. And then one of the execs, Del Galloway, and I just really hit it off. And I told him about like, you know, what I'm doing, and then, you know, the direction that I was trying to hold or trying to go. And then he was like, well, I might have a spot for you. And then, you know, a couple months later, I hit him up. I was like, hey, I'm really interested. He was like, great. And then he sent me a job to apply for, applied, and he got me in.
Congratulations, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been a good ride. Like, I think I'm literally like 90 days in.
Leonard, two things. I saw on your IG that you're sweet swing Leo. Do you prefer to be called Leo instead of Leonard?
Professionally, I go by Leonard. You know, Instagram, socially, I go by Leo.
All right. It's sweet swing Leo right now. I would love to take us in the audience behind the curtain. How did the whole Wells Fargo, like, I want to kind of tell the story of how we met, but I want to know, because we never have heard this story yet, how did you get wrapped up in this whole Wells Fargo situation with the Wells Fargo Championship? And like, was there an application process? When did you get that call? Just give us that backstory.
Yeah. So, Clint Sanchez, the executive director of the first TDC, said he had an application. He was like, hey, this came across my table and I think you'd be great. And basically the application was HBCU students who were still contributing to the first T and we're looking to go into entrepreneurship. And I was like, oh, boom, like me, like perfect. Yeah. And it's crazy because like, you know, I was a program manager for the first T. So like, you know, for the past 2 years, I've been looking for opportunities for other kids. So he sent me an application. I'm like, oh, who am I about to send this to? And I'm reading it. I'm like, this is me. Like I can go for this opportunity. So it was crazy dope. And then it kind of took me back to the days of, you know, and being in the first T and like applying for like, you know, first tee at Pebble Beach and, you know, the Nature Valley, now the Pure Insurance Open. So then I just applied. It was a pretty quick turnaround. Like, I think like 3 weeks later, they said I was in. And at that point, we didn't know who we were playing with. It was kind of just to join the pro-am. And then they said we're going to meet executives and gain a mentor. So I was just excited from there.
So you find out you get accepted and then what?
So like then, and I wasn't really working on my game at that. Like I was slapping the ball around. And I was like, oh, like, you kind of got to get in golf shape, buddy. Like, you kind of got to actually learn how to play golf. Because
you're going to be playing in a pro-am with professional golfers.
I was like, players. Bro, like, you know, that first tee, like, when you get on that first tee, you ain't been on that first tee in a minute. Like,
right.
You got to be ready to hit that shot. Like,
and not even knowing, it could have been, you know, not just Rory. It could have, any pro, it's still, like, nerves are there.
Yeah.
You know,
Not to mention surrounded by cameras.
Yeah, cameras, spectators, family. Friends.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I didn't know as many can. Like, I didn't know it'd be as big of a deal as it was, though. Like,
right.
I don't think we did either.
No, we didn't. We definitely did not.
Yeah.
Man.
We got to give you our backstory of how we did.
We have a relationship with the folks at Scratch, and they're so gracious and look out for us all the time.
Owned
and,
by the PGA Tour. So there's obvious connection there.
Right. And the opportunity to shoot some content at the Pro-Am leading up to the Wells Fargo Championship, which was about to bless HBCUs with a large endowment, you know, they were like, let's get some cameras on this. Let's drum up some media for this. And they tapped group golf therapy for it. And, you know, we went into it thinking, amazing, we get to be together, hopefully play some golf. We're going to meet the HBCU students. You, of course, were involved in that. Like, there were so many, like, good feelings going into it. So I think that's what we kind of went into it knowing. You know, like, this is going to be a
very few details.
Right. Good feelings. and we knew we
had
could,
no
like,
idea what was going on.
Right.
Good vibes. Yeah. Few details.
Yeah.
We knew we could craft a story somehow.
Lots of vibes, little details.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so many vibes.
And yeah, I'd only been to maybe one other pro-am in my life, so I didn't really know that cameras were interested in covering it. Yeah. But given the significance of what Wells Fargo was doing for these HBCUs, it made sense that, you know, maybe a little bit more media were going to be there, but for our purposes, just the scratch team. So that was our, in our job description.
Our brief.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So
our dossier.
Right. So we're thinking, all right, we're going to follow. We had met you, EJ,
Jakari,
thank you. With the day before, so we knew like, all right, this is our group. We're gonna follow them. Hopefully, meet a tour player. The energy on the first tee when we got there was like you could cut the tension with a knife. Like, it was palpable.
Oh, I did not envy y'all at all.
I was so afraid.
You like, you don't know what you know, because we don't see him. But like, it's not like if we would have had like an introduction before.
Right. But
on the first tee is the first time I saw Rory up close. Like, right. Know, so I'm coming off that and I'm like, and they're like, all right, go hit a ball. And I'm like, all right, like, I guess I'm going to figure
it out. Hit a ball. Correct me if I'm wrong, but hit a ball from the tips.
No, they had us.
Up. No, 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 no.
Thank God. The tips. Thank God they had us up a good.
Okay. Yeah, right. Roar's playing for the tips. It was his pro-am. Got it. Okay.
If they would have,
But
there was a good half a football field in between you and his tees. Yeah.
Fully. Yeah. But Rory was the defending champ, so you guys were given the opportunity to like select who you wanted to play with. You chose Rory as a group. First tee time of the day, Wednesday morning. Then what?
I mean, I was so nervous. Like, it's so funny because I was when I'm nervous, like, even like if it's I don't have a golf tournament the next day, like if I can't sleep, like I have like this like 3-foot ruler that I just putt on like until I can go to sleep or something, right? So like the night before, I'm sitting up, I'm putting so long. My girlfriend who's in the hotel with me, she's like, you have to go to sleep. You have to such an early morning. So I finally get to sleep. But then the morning of, I'm like just trying to, I'm nervous, and I'm also just trying to like pump myself up. Like, all right, let's go get it today. Let's win this thing. Like, all right, we're playing with Rory. Yeah. That means like we're going to win this pro-am. Like, we got to win this pro-am if we got Rory. Like, that's the only way. But then it's hard. Like, when you're nervous for a tournament, like you almost sometimes can almost over like warm up. You know what I mean?
For sure.
You know, like you can almost overdo it. So like, I kind of took a decent length breakfast. Honestly, just chill out, bro. Like if this was a normal day and you were just playing, like what would you do? Like you wouldn't be out there on the range trying to grind it. You'd be in here just chilling.
That's smart, honestly. Like because I know I would be on the far corner of the range. Like nobody fucking talk to me. Like I'm gonna hit 120. But I'm gonna pretend like it's the Golf Digest hot list now. Like I'm gonna get fucking blisties on the end of the range. Yeah, I'm gonna hit every club in my bag twice and take it from there. But yeah, that's a good approach, honestly.
So many good feelings come up for me when I recall being there with you.
I will say even on my end, it was very little details, lots of vibes.
Yeah,
that's gonna be my title for that week now. Now that this has come up,
yeah,
little details.
The title of this episode is gonna be Leo is a vibesman.
That's true.
Even the day before the actual pro-am at the range at Langston, seeing you interact with the junior golfers, the younger golfers was like hella inspiring, man. Like
incredible.
I appreciate that.
And you're still in your early 20s, you know, like
yeah.
But you represent an authority figure for them. You know, like to them, you're grown. You know, you grown as fuck.
It's so crazy.
And that first T chapter, heavy Black population, you know, and they see you. So for me, all of my senses are tuned to 11, you know, because I'm like, what is all this? I'm trying to soak up all this energy. I see how you interact with them. I'm inspired by that. EJ Jakari, same thing for them. For being as young as y'all are, you're like wildly accomplished. And it's funny because every HBCU student, grad, alumnus that I've interacted with, like, always walks away from that experience with like a life-changing event or a life-changing experience, quote, professor, you know, something that they can cling on to that helps them to then, you know, pass that on to the younger generation. And I saw that firsthand from you. So I wonder what that feels like, even though media is there, even though cameras are there, you know what you came to do, you know, the next day, you know, playing with Rory McIlroy, et cetera. But when you're with your students, you know, what is that experience like for you? What game are you trying to give them?
I mean, I really just wanted to show them like where this could take you. Cause it's like, I really grew up at Langston. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that was really my course. So like, I was just trying to like have them see like, oh, I'm not just the coach from class that's just talking to you. Like, no, like, I'm really here. Like I'm really doing things like that I would have never thought I would have done. But like, it's not because I told myself one day I was going to go play with Rory. It's not going to because I told myself I was going to, you know, go play and be captain of the college golf team. It was literally, I loved the game and I wanted to play it so bad. And then everything just kind of fell into place for me. And I tell the kids, like, if you can just fall in love with this game, like, that's all you have to worry about. Like there's so many other worse things you can do than fall in love with this game. Like, you know what I mean? And so I really wanted just to like have that experience to have them buy in. So like when I do teach the class, it's not as like, it's not just empty words. It's really just like, okay, he knows what he's talking about. He has a little bit of a little sense to him.
Totally unscripted. I just like hearing you talk about that. And this weekend I picked up something at the flea market. I want to show you.
Oh, that's pretty dope.
So this podcast is an audio medium. So for those listening, the painting that I was holding up is a Black golfer. It's funny when I purchased the painting from. Okay. So the vendor, they're there every weekend, the Melrose Flea Market, and they sell African art, which is so fun to me. I go in there and I just like kind of geek out and I'm looking at all these sculptures and paintings and pieces of art. And I just kind of casually stroll up to this piece because it stood out to me. It's the only golf thing there. And the guy behind the desk goes, yeah, the painter, he tried to make Tiger Woods, but he missed the mark. But I'm like, honestly,
it's better that it's not Tiger.
It's better that it's not Tiger.
Exactly. Exactly.
So for those listening, the painting is a Black golfer where we can – assume is a professional golfer there. There's a crowd behind him and
it's not Tiger though.
It's not Tiger. Not Tiger. And below him is a young Black boy holding a golf club and his jaw is open. Cause he's like in awe watching this golfer. And for me that represents, you know, you can't be it if you don't see it.
Yeah.
So definitely. The point of me bringing up seeing you with the first T kids was just that, you know, you have to see a Lenard Long being successful, gaining media interest, playing on a high stage with a professional golfer to even get it into your head that this is a possibility. The opportunity with Wells Fargo professionally aside, you know, just seeing you.
Yeah.
Taking up space in golf is so powerful. And I want to give you your flowers, man, because it's important. And like I said, you're young, but still to them, you're grown. And
yeah, no, I'm grown. I'm like an adult.
Right. They're like, you have a beard.
Why don't you have kids yet? I'm like, bro, believe me.
You have a beard. That's all they need to see.
It's all in the beard. Yeah.
Right. So that's just super special, man. And it's beautiful for me to see personally, just because like that's my why, you know. When I look at the next generation, they're my why. I want to be as good a representation as I can be. And I just wish you nothing but the best going forward. And I'm glad that we got time to spend together and I got to, you know, see how you move. And it's just, it's inspiring, man.
I appreciate that.
I think I can speak for the three of us and say that when we left that golf course and even before, like when we met you on that first day, we were so blown away by you and Joya and Jakari and EJ, the way that you carry yourselves and move on the golf course in front of people, in front of cameras with all of this pressure, in front of a multi-major winner, a future Hall of Famer like Rory McIlroy. Like, again, going off of very few details, but high vibes. You know, like, I think we were kind of walking in the situation being like, we're going to go interview some kids, right? Like, right. I think we had that expectation of being like, we're going to go talk to some young people about like how to play golf. And what we were met with was four people who are at least forward facingly so incredibly sure of themselves, so sure footed, so incredibly capable, well spoken and dynamic and
very good at
so
golf.
Smart, very fucking good at golf. That right. was the other thing too. Yeah. We were standing on that first tee. And I have a video on my phone somewhere of like, you know, everybody's got their phones out recording it. And one of us, I forget who it was, somebody's just like, just please get four airborne shots, just four shots off of the ground. Because there's that chasm off the first tee that you have to hit over.
Oh, yeah.
And that's
tough for a shot.
And you guys all did it. Like we got four shots off the ground, which is that in and of itself is like, we're gonna be okay. We're gonna be okay today. I didn't feel that down.
Like I was like, this trust that you've played golf for this long and you won't miss. Like that's literally it. Swing, right. Trust that you won't miss this. And then
I never had that feeling.
Yeah. Right. What's that feel like to tell yourself?
What's that feel like?
Yeah.
You know how to play golf. I literally said that to myself mid round the other day because I was playing so badly. I was like,
"Nah." Sometimes you have to just remind yourself, "Yo, like, bro, like,
you love golf. You know how to play golf. Remember golf? Like,
remember how good you are?"
Right.
Oh, no, for man. Real. We all collectively, the three of us, felt like nervous parents on that first tee. And then
I can imagine.
Even following y'all, our stomach was just in knots.
That first hole, like the first tee shot wasn't the most nervous I've been, but that like the entire first hole was probably my most nervous golf hole.
Right.
Like,
oh, for sure.
And you made it. You made a 2-putt par, I think. Right. Like, didn't you?
I hit a weak slap shot. Yeah. I want to go through this whole round.
I totally thought you did.
No. I hit a weak slap shot right just above the bunker and had a terrible lie. Okay. And I was so afraid of blading it over the green that I was just like, hit this fat and just get it on the green and just
get it on the green anywhere.
That's all you need, like, man.
Yeah. I mean, but it was like a scramble shamble type deal. So I'm like, I think Rory birdied the first hole. So I'm like, look, buddy,
we're good.
Jakari like was on the green. So I'm like, look, like don't force it right now. Like, don't try to hit no flop shot. Like,
yeah, get through
keep
this
the
one.
Round going.
Keep right.
Round
yeah. Going.
Yeah. But then, I mean, shit, fast forward a couple holes and you make an absolute bomb of a putt. Yes. Was it like 30 feet? Which we also got cameras on.
Yeah, cameras on all of that. Yeah, no, that was the next hole. I believe that was number two. Yeah. But you have to remember, so like I hit the drive super far left.
Yep.
Into the hazards, hit another one, just try to advance it, didn't make it out the hazard. I only advanced it like 60 something yards.
Right.
Hit another one just short of that green. I don't know, but anyways, I was 60 feet away for par.
Yeah.
you know what I mean? Like and that's why after I was like, dang, I did all that for par. Like, dang, I finally did something good and I only got par out of it.
Well, this brings us to a critical moment. I remember later on, I think we were on the eighth hole.
Mm-hmm.
We had an aside, you know, little interview session with Rory, and we asked him, what is something that you've learned from them today, right? Like obviously the structure, the power dynamic in place is that you four young people are learning from Rory, right? Like you're playing with one of the best in the world ever to play. You're taking from him today. And we wanted to, you know, reverse the schema and say, what did you learn from them today? And he said, Lennard hit that 60-foot par putt, looked at me and said, that's a lot of golf for a par. And he had never heard that before. And so like to give him a nugget that he is now taking with him, I'm sure, to every practice round, every practice session, every tournament that he plays in, every major that he's in, to congratulate himself and say, but also in the same breath, man, I worked fucking hard for that par.
Right.
But nevertheless, a great par.
Because, I had to keep growing. Like, if you give up, like, on like, holes like that, like, if you, especially early in the round, like, if you give up on yourself, like, it ruins your whole round.
Yes.
Totally.
So, like, I was like, all right, good. Like, okay. Like, again, like, oh, I do know how to play golf. Like, I can figure this out a little bit. So, actually, he said that. He told me after that. He was like, oh, I just learned something from you in his little bit of accent. Like, he's like, I just learned something from you. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
So that was cool. So, then after that, I was like, so then, boom, that happened. Now I'm like, all right, like, it's golf, bro. Like, come
you
on.
You got some confidence.
Yeah.
That's a big battery to put in the pack from, you know?
But, I am a golf. But now I tell my kids, like, look, like, I'm a golf coach. Like, if I can't teach you golf, I'm going to teach you something on the course. Like,
So, in that vein, I guess, what are some of either the lessons you picked up from that round with Rory or from anyone at your time at Langston or at Morehouse? What are some of those kind of like nuggets that you lean on?
I think Rory specifically, because I feel like that's what everybody's waiting on. One of the biggest things that kind of changed my game is he told me, like, when you're chipping and you're practicing chipping, like, really try to chip in. Like, don't just get out there and try to chip it close and, like, you know, just chip around the hole. Like, really hone in on chipping in, because when you get on the course, like, and that's your mindset, then your chipping is going to be better and you're going to be more confident all the way around. And I mean, that it's literally that little tidbit has changed my short game, like, without a question.
Wow.
And then just staying. Yeah, no, easy. Literally. I mean, yeah. So like now if I have a chipping session and I have to like chip in five times and like it, cause now I get up to the course and I'm like, oh, you can just chip in. You know what I mean? Like it can happen. Mm-hmm. Watching him hit the ball on Wednesday was really cool. But then I don't know if you guys stuck around, I think Friday or Saturday, like it was super rainy. Yeah. Cause I was in the tent with you guys. Yeah. It was super rainy. And I was like, wow. Like the sound of his ball on Wednesday was the exact same as Saturday when it was dead raining, super wet. So I was like, there's a level of ball contact in there that you got to figure out, bro.
Yeah.
Despite the conditions, he's fucking dialed.
Like you're making ball contact first out the rough. The ball sounded the exact same.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Well, I'll never know what that's
enviable.
Like.
Enviable.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it was literally like a light shining moment when I was, because I mean, and then at that point, like, it was raining, so there weren't that many. He didn't have that many followers out. And it was like a light shined on me. I was like, whoa, like, that's why. And then he shot like 300 that day. I think everyone else, like the field complete, like he wasn't playing that well and the field completely came back to him. Like he was in the mix.
Mm-hmm. You know how hard it is to shoot 3 under in a torrential downpour? Like
when I wouldn't even have went outside that day.
In clickety class?
Yeah, right?
Right.
I'm not playing golf that day.
Right.
I'm driving there. I couldn't park in the lot because all the lots had been flooded.
Right, because it was grass parking, right.
Because it was grass parking, the lots had been flooded. So I'm like, oh, like I'm only gonna be here for X, Y, and Z long because you know they're probably gonna call it. Didn't call it.
They didn't
still
call
played.
It.
That's insane.
Still shot wow.
It's been really fun to watch Rory from May on to now his ascension back to number one. I feel like it was right around that time when he started.
I mean,
dating.
The golf world has changed since the last time we met.
Yes, it has.
You know, just a little bit,
just
a couple things have changed. But no, I mean, it was just it. I feel like that was we were seeing Rory as the phoenix rising from the ashes at that point.
Totally.
And like, you know, our group chat was very Rory heavy for a while because of that. And then we, you know, it's just like, wow, like he's in contention again. He's in contention this weekend. Yeah. And it's just, it started steamrolling. No, and obviously
like he's the beast had just began to woke up. And I could tell
he's stirring in the cave. I'm fucking ready. Do you ever think about how you and Jakari and Elijah and Joya are like the catalyst for that?
I mean, yeah. I take full responsibility.
As you should. As you should.
That's fucking right.
That was like one of his first results. I mean, he did well at the Masters, obviously, but on the last day, but he was out there.
Yeah.
He was in contention.
Every day. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Oh, and he convinced me to change to a mallet putter. He was like, if you don't have a mallet putter, like you're just not gonna putt as well.
Whoa.
I've had a mallet putter.
Did he tell you why, or was he just like, here's this knowledge bomb, I'm just gonna walk away?
Yeah, he's like, look, the blade's gonna look cooler, but the mallet's gonna be better. So I have a TaylorMade spider putter in my back now.
Yeah, I was gonna say he should have sent you one. He'd be like, yo, Rory, this is my address. You know.
Damn. And it is crazy because literally yesterday I was like, should I switch back to a blade? And the only reason I thought that is because the group in front of me, I was playing yesterday, they dropped a Hanma blade putter cover, and it looked sick. I was like, this is beautiful.
Not even the putter, just the cover.
Blade putter covers do look better.
They look much better.
They fit way better in your bag. Yeah.
Mallet putter covers are terrible.
What am I?
They're square. I hate them.
But world number one, Rory McIlroy says blade putter, mallet putter, I'm sorry. Then the rest is not.
I guess, I'm on team blade, or team mallet, right. I guess. Sorry,
yeah, guys. You got to get it right. Something I've wanted to ask you, Leonard, Leo, when you're playing around, just like it's you and your friends, or maybe when you were in school, what are some of the things that you like to think about? Or what are some of the things that come up for you while you're playing around, whether it's competitive, whether it's practice, tournament mode, what are those recurring thoughts?
This is kind of weird, but so like when I was young, I used to get really nervous and like really analytical of my score. So an old head at the course one day was like, whenever you get too analytical of your score, just look up at the clouds and just try to create as many shapes as you can of the clouds. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Whoa, that's cool.
And then just try to relieve your, like, just because, I mean, you can get into such a, like, a sinkhole of the score.
Yeah.
That, like, you have to pick out something that will be consistent every single time and that you can rely on. And I've always chose, I didn't choose, but I've always been told to look at the clouds and just try to get your mind off it as you walk.
I love that.
That's beautiful.
That was a good gym. That was a good gym at a young age that I picked up.
That's an amazing grounding exercise to bring you back to reality and have you get out of your own head and focus on something else. I'm going to use that one.
And to stop walking just forward, because so much of golf, you're just like, go to my ball, to my ball, the next shot, go to my ball, the next shot. And so rarely, I feel like, do you get to look around, look up, look down, look to the side. That's a really, really cool piece of advice.
Yeah. You're never looking up in golf, really. You're looking down, you're looking side to side, but up is not a natural movement to look in golf.
And that's really the only consistent space in golf.
Yeah.
Really? Golf course to golf course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a bar. Is that something that you impart on your juniors as well?
Yeah. Like, so I mean, little like tournament tricks that I picked up along the way.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I always try to tell them every little thing I know.
That's beautiful.
Because, I mean, you know, the majority of the population doesn't know to do that.
Or, right.
Like, to even consider that.
This is a question for everyone. Have any of y'all mid-round taken off your shoes and socks and felt your feet in the grass?
Yo, playing barefoot is the best.
Right.
It's so good, man.
Yeah. Well,
right. When you set out with the intention, I'm going to play golf barefoot today, that's different than like,
I've never changed mid-round, though.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Like, I'm a little wired right now. I need to ground. I'm going to take my shoes and socks off. I'm going to challenge all of us to do that for the next
mid-round.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
I like that.
The last time I tried to play with my shoes and socks off, an old head made fun of me.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
Put your shoes back on, young man.
Right. That checks out. You could probably get away with that in New York or LA, but I don't know. Not. DMV, maybe not. Yeah,
I was at a military based golf course, and he was like,
Yeah, for sure.
That's a dead giveaway.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right.
Sure. Yeah. Buttons all the way
all
up.
All the way up.
Yeah. Brad knows about the military courses. So.
Yes, I do.
Brad didn't run around with the dogs out at that course, did you?
No, I didn't. I didn't run around with anything out at that course.
Everything was in.
Right.
Everything was tugged.
quick backstory, Lenar. I grew up in a military adjacent town. The town was literally constructed for overflow Black Army families. And there was a course built on it by Robert Trent Jones. And that was the course I learned to play golf on. So my
designed by R2J, but was it a good course?
Yeah, so very solid. And I hope in a perfect world, all four of us get to go play there.
We will play there.
Yeah. But my earliest experiences with golf were watching Black men play. Yeah. So it was a complete culture shock and shift when I got to college and played on my college team, and the rest of the golf experience was like very, very different, you know? Very
different. Mm-hmm. But what about like junior tournament? What about like junior tournaments when you're in high school? Cause I mean, I have almost the same kind of story that, you know, Langston,
right.
Black, but I don't know. I started late. So I always had the white perception of golf, but then I got to the golf course and I was like, oh, never mind.
So I would say that
that's interesting.
Our situations are a little similar in that high school, my focus wasn't golf. So my earliest experiences with golf was watching it. Was 12, 13 years old watching Black men play. Then one put a club in my hand and I got to feel what it felt like. And then high school, I was just like experimenting.
Yeah.
College is when I first tried taking it seriously. So to, I guess, put a button on it, like that whole like military experience was like very like, these are the rules. It is black and white. Ain't no Dickies on my golf course. Ain't no t-shirts on my golf course. What are you talking about? a tradition that has long been upheld by Capital G Golf, as we like to call it on the show. What are your golf experiences like now? You've graduated. You've got the opportunity with Wells Fargo. You're 90 days in. How much golf are you playing these days, and what's that experience like for you now?
So start of the job, I actually played a decent amount, just because I was going through trainings and I didn't have any heavy work. But Saturday, so basically my main days now are Saturdays. So I have Special Olympics. So I still work with Special Olympics on Saturdays. And then I have like just a couple of juniors that I work out that I'm still in contact with and coach.
Amazing.
Not too much personal golf going on, but
got you.
You know, still.
But you're still imparting wisdom, telling people to look up at the clouds.
Yeah.
I love it. Are you still in contact with Joya and Jakari and Elijah?
It's like kind of similar to you guys. Like we're on Instagram, where like, okay, they'll post something cool and I'll DM them, or they'll DM me if I post something cool. And
yeah.
Just, you know, show love to each other when we're doing things in our lives.
That's great. I mean, what an amazing experience. And of course it's just like, it's one day, well, you know, 2 days out of your life. But
it went by so quick.
Yeah. I believe it.
So quick.
I believe it.
Like I was in that hotel and then I was like, oh my God, we got to get out, bro. Like that's it. Like we're done.
Yeah,
because it's so much build up to playing with Rory, and then it's like, oh, you play with him, all right, like you're done,
right? Right. And I know I've certainly had this, and I'm sure Brad and Drew, you can relate too. When there's something big that's being built up in your life for quite a while, like, you know, for you it was like a month. There's anticipation that builds, and you have expectations of how that experience is going to go. And there's all this noise, right? Like there's just in your mind. And then also when you arrive there on the day, you know, again, you're surrounded by cameras, you're surrounded by people asking you questions. Man, the schedule that you guys had on that day, I, again, do not envy the amount of interviews that you did and people want a piece of you. And then it's just over.
Yeah.
And then the dust settles and then it's just quiet.
Yeah. I mean, I was lucky because one, I'm from DC and I'd played TPC Avenue before. Uh-huh. Then two, I'm from, again, I'm from here. So I got to stay until Sunday. Right.
Right.
But for Joya and everybody else, like, you know, one, they, this is their first time seeing TPC Avenue, and TPC Avenue is no easy trek.
No.
And then two, like they had to get on a flight the next morning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm like, I'm extremely blessed for the experience because I was in the Wells Fargo tent after with the open bar, you know, right. watching Rory right. come up 18.
Right.
And now I'm like, dang, like I really can't go to golf tournaments with, I didn't know how sweet the 18, like I didn't know, you know, I had been my whole time I'd been walking around following people watching golf and not. Yeah.
Or like struggling to watch golf.
Yeah. You know, and it's a struggle.
It's hard to watch like professional golf. Yeah.
It's not fun. Yeah. Especially when you have to pay $14 for a Michelob. So
No, seriously. And it's like, you can't bring not like you have to be either be with, like you can't be with non golf friends. Like it's really hard to bring non golf friends to a golf tournament.
Yeah. Because
they'll never understand the walking. They'll never understand like really what's going on and like appreciate it.
Yeah.
Like
they'll hate
the scene, maybe like the view. Yeah.
But they'll hate it and hate you for bringing them there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Watching golf is a contact sport. I'll say that.
You got to stay wide. Get elbows out.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to make your way through that crowd.
And it's a safety. It's a safety. Like, they don't know. Like, they
be
don't
big.
Know.
Yeah. You got to make yourself big.
Do we want to get into the meat and potatoes here?
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm excited to get into this with you, Leo. We're very grateful to be sponsored by Red Rooster. They make our favorite golf gloves. We use Red Rooster golf gloves. And we have a segment called Get a Grip, where we'll give you a full minute to rant about anything in golf that is currently grinding your gears right now. Leo, take
this
away.
This is a spicy time for the Get a Grip. Like,
yeah. This is, we're testing people right now.
Yeah, like.
That's why it exists.
Give me a second. I'm just going to talk about the price. Like, the price of golf at this point is just absolutely, like, ridiculous. Like, I really don't know, like, what percentage of young folk can really afford to consistently, like, beyond the time, like, how many, like, young folk can really afford the game? I mean, if we're charging $50, like, and it's hard for me to, like, you know, tell kids to play when there was, I mean, I was working at the first tee. Reality, if I didn't have connections with the golf course, I wouldn't have been able to, like, play competitively or, like, play, you know, like, 2-3 times a week. So like it's always conflicting to me where it's like, okay, I'm telling the kids to do X, Y, and Z, and it's a sport that, you know, you can play for the rest of your life. When if I didn't make the connections at a young age, I wouldn't have been playing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's my little, and it's hard because what's the real solution for that?
Right.
And then like what, you know, what's the work? Cause I mean, back in the day, I used to think drivers being 300 was crazy. Now they're 5. You know what I mean? And that, and like, you know, parents will come to me like, oh, that's, and like, you know, I mean, I remember, I got a steal of a deal when I was younger, and, it was like some irons for like $250. They're like Wilson DI 7 irons. Right. So I ordered, so I told my dad and I was like, oh yeah, I need these. He was like, are you sure? Like, why are they $250? But I was like, that's how all of them are. Trust me. And then I showed him like the $1,000 ones. And he was like, all right, $250. Easy. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
And then he was like, so I got them. So it's a set of irons. So it's like 7 of them. Right. He was like, yo, like, where are the rest of the clubs at? You're supposed to have 14. And I'm like, nah.
Nah. Like,
this
gotcha.
This is literally half of the clubs.
You know what I mean? So, damn. I mean, and it's a complicated issue, but at the end of the day, like, if we want the game to change, like, it can't only be older grown folks being able to play. You know what I mean? And there's going to have to be a solution somehow, some way. I don't know what it is, but I'd like to be on the team that figures it out.
I proposed the solution last time we asked this question, socialism. And that is a hill I'm willing to die on. And take that as you will. But if everyone had a living wage, food in their belly, a roof over their head, healthcare, a vehicle.
And a free bag of clubs.
And a free bag of clubs. At least, at very least, free clubs and free range balls for juniors.
Yeah. I mean, I like range balls for juniors should be like a mandatory goal.
Mandatory.
Like, absolutely.
USGA regulated.
Thank you.
If you're a junior, I don't care if the old men are taking, like, just bringing, carrying kids to the golf course to get, you know, a bucket. Like, yeah. Any, like, there's no reason. There's no reason.
If museums are able to give free entry to kids under 12 years old or whatever, mm-hmm. like, golf courses should be able to do that too.
Yeah.
100%.
That's a good one. Get a grip, Leo. Get a grip, man.
Shout out to Red Rooster.
Yeah. I mean, we gotta hit you with a question that we hit Rory with. Leo, what are some of your favorite golf smells?
I was thinking about this earlier, and I decided on, so it's not necessarily my smell, but I remember when I had first started playing golf, and my sister like picked me up from the golf course, and she gave me this look of like, why do you smell like that? Like, why? Like, and I realized, I was like, oh, like, I've been walking around for the last 6 hours just in the trees and the dirt, like doing whatever. And I potentially am not a rational human being. So what? So whatever that smell that she smelled on me that day of just, I guess it's literally the golf smell of being, you know, out and sweaty, and you might have had a hot dog, you know, you whatever you ate that day is just on your body.
It's seeping out of your pores.
Yeah. That's the smell I like.
Oh, that's a really cool answer.
That's
what you smell like after playing golf.
No one's ever said that. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. It's also probably unique to each person too. Which is cool.
Okay. You're coming back next year as a part of the Wells Fargo Pro-Am. And they're holding a championships dinner in your honor. What's on the menu?
Like southern food, but then also like, and this is kind of ironic because I'm black and Mexican, but like literally southern food and then Mexican food, like kind of like, I don't know, like barbecue tacos or something.
What better foods are there?
Yes,
nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I nothing. Could, you know,
Mexican food is my elite. Thanksgiving
kind of go crazy.
Southern food is elite. Like, fight me.
Perfect combo.
we're pulling up. We're pulling up to that meal. Mm-hmm. Is there anything specific? So, you said barbecue tacos, which I loved. That's very specific. Where have you had those? And send us the address.
Yeah, no. My aunt's like the cook. My aunt's like the cook of the house, and she always chefs like.
Okay.
Thanksgiving, it's always crazy.
We love home cooking on the show. Every time we ask that question, we secretly hope that it's just like
it's an invite. It's
mom's
an invite,
cooking.
Yeah. It's the moms of the aunts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what we secretly hope every time because we love that. I recently discovered, and I think I sent it to the group chat, my new walk-up song when I walk up to the first tee. So let's say you're pulling up to Langston. They're introducing you over the loudspeaker and they're playing a song for you as you hit the first tee shot. Let's say I'm going to dial it back. Let's say you get to replay your first tee shot.
Yeah. Oof. Oof. And I get a walk-up song?
Yes. Yeah. You get a walk-up song as Rory McIlroy is standing behind you.
Yeah.
His body weight is leaning on the grip of his driver and he's watching
it's
you tee off.
It can't be happy birthday though because it was – That oh, was his. We that was your.
About that. It was his birthday,
and he
it
hated it.
He sang "Happy Birthday."
We had to, we were forced.
And he, but
into
he didn't
singing.
Want us. Like no. I remember before,
he hated it.
Some woman was just like, "Hey, will you sing if I sing?" But it was more of like, "You have to." So
yeah,
we just
yeah. It was, yeah, it was definitely like because someone told me like before, the birthday song was more for the cameras. I'm not gonna lie.
It was tough. Yeah.
That was hard.
Yeah.
I didn't want
his vibe, like but the birthday, like, you know, your reaction to the birthday is like, oh, and he didn't even eat the cupcake. He like
he did not
even
eat
no, no, he's no, like, I don't eat gluten and then threw it on the ground.
And then he smashed it.
Yeah. No, because later on, when you guys departed and kept going, and he left after nine, someone else tried to give him another cupcake.
Right.
And yeah, and then
and he didn't eat that either.
No, because yeah. I remember someone's like, "Oh, happy birthday,
this,
Rory."
Nah, this the title of this is Rory Hates Cupcakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yep.
Yep. Book it. Done. Easy. So, yeah. And so, and then he was like, "Oh, yeah, I don't eat gluten."
Thing. Well, I mean, you're trying to be world number one. He had a beast inside of him. Like, you can't feed a beast a cupcake.
No. No. Absolutely not. Yeah. No.
That body's a temple.
Not even on your birthday. Hey, Tom Brady doesn't eat strawberries, so.
That man is psychotic. That's different.
That's because
that's a vat of worms that we don't need to dive into.
Yeah, we don't have TB12 time.
Oh, sorry. I don't even think I answered the question. My immediate answer is Black Butterfly by Denise Williams. Mm. I don't know if you guys have heard that one. You guys should check it out. Two polar opposite sides, but it's either that or like a Future song. It's got to be off Dirty Sprite.
Dirty Sprite is no skips. Literally any of them can work.
Tier zero.
I've been adding our answers to a Spotify playlist. I might just add Dirty Sprite to the fucking playlist.
The whole thing. I'm not teeing off until everybody. Because if you have, it's you know that crowd, they might have not heard the whole album before. So I'm not hitting the ball till that whole album is. Is played
not
and
on shuffle, cover to cover in sequence.
That's a flex to go instead of a walk up song. It's a walk up album.
Walk up album. Yeah, you just stop.
An hour later, Leo tees off. It's fine. It's fine.
375 practice swings.
Yeah. Oh my god.
I mean, that would honestly be a good range session warm up album.
Yeah.
I might take that to my next range session.
Yeah.
I don't hate it. One.
But you got to play it out loud. I feel like it's only as good out loud. You got to play it out loud for the whole everybody here.
Bring a speaker. Yeah. Can you think of a time, Leo, where you were on the golf course that you laughed the absolute hardest?
I mean, so many. My best laughs are 100%. Like, because golf is so unpredictable, like, and it's so, in theory, boring that when something crazy happens, It just amplifies it.
Right.
My biggest is we're like, this is the junior golf days. It's like freezing cold out. We're at the military golf course. It's me, my friend Asa, my friend DeMarcus, and my friend Marquise. And we're playing this hole and like we like because we've been playing with each other so long, like we don't really even look at each other's balls. You know what I mean? Balls.
Right. Right.
But yeah, so we don't even look at each other like each other's shots. So, you know, a lot of times we'll just walk ahead, right? But one day that winter Russ caught up to Marquise and he just, I mean, absolutely shanked one, right? It went directly into my friend's Ace's like ankle, and then he stepped in like a bunker, but the bunker wasn't like sand anymore. It was just ice, right? Just covered ice, right? So immediately when he got hit in the ankle, straight to the ice. And I was like,
that God sounds like a really fucking Home Alone scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, God is really, I mean, that's exactly what you needed in that moment with some ice.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You needed ice in that moment. Yeah. He provided. Wow.
But you couldn't have anything better in that moment than just an ankle full of ice.
That is cruel. Cruel as fuck.
Oh, yeah. He finished that round. He was a trooper.
Have you ever hit anyone with a golf ball before, Leo?
No, but golf club. Mm. So whenever I make a mental mistake, I just blame it on golf.
We've all had a few close calls with some golf balls. Connor's been hit by a golf ball.
Oh, wait. I hit someone with a golf club. I forgot about that. I did. But it was they were jumping over the rail, and it was completely in my backswing.
Oh, yeah.
It was bad. Oh. It was bad.
Are they good?
You know how like someone isn't good but they'll be on the ground and
oh no,
like they'll be on the ground as if they are good and you're like,
right,
you're like, yo,
they're just fighting back tears.
yeah
like, oh my god, like I'm hoping
CTE setting in
right.
Yikes.
So another wonderful sponsor of this podcast, Leonard, is BetterHelp. It's an online therapy platform that the three of us use. We love BetterHelp. We have 72, a deck of 72 angel cards. We okay. call them intention cards. Mm-hmm. Each of these cards has a word on it. That word okay. It's an emotion, it's a feeling, it's a state of mind. Brad is going to pick an intention card at random and display it to you. And it's going to be for a reason. Like the random, you know, the random pick is it's going to be meant for you. Exactly.
It's random but chosen for me.
Exactly. And if you can, describe how that card that Brad picks fits into your life right now.
All right, cool. I'm with it.
Your moment of clarity is obedience.
Interesting.
Haven't gotten that one before.
No.
I think like the biggest, like I sometimes have like a lot of like self-doubt, right? But I pray like, and I often pray a lot, right? And like the most consistent message I ever got from God was just keep doing what you're doing. Mm. So like when obedience came up, like, you know, there's like, even with the Lord, like buddy, like relax, just like, you know what you're doing, keep doing what you're doing. It will be fine. So like, I always go back to that and just follow the rule. Just that's what God said to you. Like, believe, like, if you just keep doing what you're doing, like so far, if you've been doing what you're doing, like it's led you in the right directions, gotten you to a good spot. So if you just follow that, then, you know, like let the chips fall where they may. Any battle that comes to you, you're good for it. You know what I mean?
I really like that.
Love that.
That's beautiful, man. I think obedience can be interpreted a few different ways. I think you mentioned praying, you mentioned God. These are all like, this is language I understand, you know? And I think obedience sometimes implies like servitude or like subservience. Like,
yeah, submissiveness. Yeah.
Submissiveness, right. And it's not that. I think for me, obedience is listening to that inner voice.
Yeah.
Trusting it, like obeying that. Obeying yourself, obeying what that inner dialogue, you know, having a clear understanding of who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And when I look at you and I, you know, I zoom out and I look at all the things that you've done, everything that you represent, and hearing you explain that to us, I believe that you're walking in that and is beautiful to see. And just personally, I want to thank you for joining us tonight because this was so much fun. Like, I want to do it again soon. And we instead of watching you play golf, we have to play
y'all
golf.
Y'all in the group. This is the four right here.
This is our foursome.
Yeah.
We got to get out to the DMV soon.
Yeah. No, anytime you guys are in the area, please hit me up.
What was that course we played at the day before?
East Potomac.
Oh, man. That was so much fun.
With the monuments and whatnot.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that.
That was a great little track.
I want to play at Langston. I mean, shit. Like,
yeah.
We were there.
We do need Langston, yeah.
We got to pull up.
That's always the worst. Like, when you make golf your job, it sucks because you go to cool places and then you're like, I don't get to play right now. Like, are you serious?
Yeah, very little golf is played when we're traveling.
Ditto with everything that Brad said. Like, it's cool to know you. I'm glad that I'm grateful that golf brings us together.
Yeah.
It's given the three of us such an incredible relationship between the three of us, but through extension, it's given us fourths around the country, around the world. And you are squarely a part of that. You're one of our fourths. And that it's truly a pleasure to know you and watch you move. It's cool. I love it.
I appreciate that.
How is golf fit into your life therapeutically?
So, I mean, like a lot of like minority kids, I grew up in a big household, like with a lot of family, right? So like, while a big family is great and I'm beyond thankful for that, what it left was like not a lot of time for solitude, right? So like me being the only golfer in my family, and golf being an individual sport and kind of my parents not knowing anything about golf and like having to just leave me at the golf course by myself, you know, as a 13, 14 year old with nothing but clubs and a ball and, you know, figure it out. It was an amazingly therapeutic thing for me because it gave me time to learn about myself, you know, like what is my temperament? Like, how do I, like truly, how do I carry myself? when my parents aren't here? You know, you know, how, what's my learning method? Like, do I want a coach that's going to be hard on me? Do I want a coach that's going to be easy on me? Do I want a coach that's going to tell me that I'm the greatest? And, you know, what is really going to be the best tool for me to succeed in life? So, I mean, if there's kids out there, if there's parents out there, you know, that want to be in golf, like really enjoy the solitude and like really enjoy the time away and, you know, just to focus on yourself. Because especially with social media, especially just with the way the world's made up today, there's so little time for that. And in golf, like you do have that time. And it was amazingly helpful for me. And like, I'm so thankful that I lucked up and found this game. You know what I mean? And then, and then you run into great people like all of you guys. And you know, it's just, I mean, I'm just super thankful for golf. You know, I can't imagine my life without it.
I even want to like pull on that thread a little bit more too.
Yeah, please.
What did you find that solitude useful for?
Literally, I mean, everything from like socializing to, I mean, the way I like operated in school, you know, like teaching myself, like, cause golf, you know, you might have an instructor, but you majority of the time are teaching yourself, right? So like really learning how to teach myself something and then also learning, oh, you can just teach yourself. Like you don't have to wait on somebody else to give you something. Like you could just learn it yourself. You can go on YouTube and look up best chipping techniques, best chipping practices, best, you know, X, Y, Z, and just do it yourself. Like you don't have to wait on anybody else.
If you had the opportunity to play a round of golf with that version of Leo, the kid who was like, searching for solitude, trying to teach yourself something. What do you think the conversation would look like if you had an opportunity to play, walk down the fairways with that kid?
With my younger self? I would tell him just like, and it's something so unfortunate that I learned so late is this like, and it's cliche because this is, but it's, I mean, most cliche things are so true, right? But like, really just like learn, like, and if you're out there with Rory, like, he was having a good, like, he might not, and he, I can, you know, you can tell when a good player isn't playing well, even though, like, he probably shot even, but you can tell he wasn't playing well. But, like, I could tell in that moment, even, like, even though we're playing a five-some, even though we're, like, it's probably annoying to him that we're there in the morning, he'd probably prefer to play to himself, but, like, at the end of the day, he was enjoying himself playing golf. You know what I'm saying? I could tell there's no other place, no matter what the situation is, he wanted to be playing golf in that moment. You know what I mean? So, you know, I mean, just and learn to love the, like, golf is so hard and it's so frustrating and there's no guarantee that you're going to get better. on the first tee, accept that it could go wrong today.
Yeah.
Accept it. Like it could, I can't lie to you. You might shank it. It might happen, but like learn it. Like if you shank it, learn to say, okay, how am I going to enjoy that shank? Like, and that's life, right? Like if something, like you can't control what goes wrong, like if something goes wrong, learn how to figure out, like learn how to love the recovery.
Yeah. Fuck. That's such a like tour player mentality of like focusing on the next shot. And I think that's always been a takeaway that I've had from seeing tour players where they'll have a, you know, a blow up hole or a blow up shot. And then the next one, they'll drain one from the bunker after leaving it in the bunker, you know, the first time. And it's like after they've hit the shot, good or bad, they've already forgotten about it and they're moving on to the next one. And I think, yeah, that's such great advice for any beginner golfer or any golfer in their journey is just, you know, keep moving forward at one shot at a time, but also don't dwell on the last one, whether your last shot was a hole in one or whether your last shot was a double bogey. Like there's always the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. I really appreciate you guys, you know, reaching back, you know, as much as, you know, I made the first tee kids, you know, helped with the experience. You guys really made the experience so much more special just cause you guys, you know, we're surrounded by a lot of older folk. So just to kind of be centered with you guys and, you know we're like the next revolution of making golf cool again. You know, it really added to the experience.
That's kind.
Yeah. Thank you, man. That was.
Yeah.
Exactly. We were there to tell your story.
So we're going to keep watching you, man.
I appreciate it.
Keep going.
And I'm watching. We're proud of you. Bradford, I don't know if you know, but like I was like when you pulled up in full Lulu, I was like, all right. And then not only you pulled up in full Lulu, couple months later, you're on Lulu. And I'm like, like, how do I get on that? How do I get on that one? So I'm y'all watching me. I'm watching y'all. And I can't wait to, you know, see which way we grow and, you know, how we change this game for the better. You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's it, man. That's all it is, man. And we're going to keep supporting each other.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for the time, man.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.